All right, you guys ready? All right, we're gonna have to start bringing some ice, and we'll have iced coffee during that 3:33, right? That's kind of we need that right now. It's so warm, but hope you guys had a safe and fun 4th of July holiday. How'd you guys spend it? We sleeping? That's a good one. Working? All right, praise God. Baseball game? Man, you survived it too. It was 115 out there, I think. 130, I think, with the sun hitting on you. We went swimming and barbecue, and we kind of did a bunch of stuff too, little things in the morning. It seemed like it was a jam-packed day, but we're here. And I said, I'm in charge of the fireworks at our celebration, so I always got to be careful, right? You don't have a rogue. But this year, Stephanie was disappointed I didn't get the little flowers, because I normally like to light them and throw them at people's feet, you know? It's all, or they go into the cars, and I was like, my car's going to blow up. So I was just, I let you down. Next year, I'm going to buy a double dose of the little flowers. But no, we had a blessed time. It was a really good time with family. Stephanie's family came down from San Jose, so we hosted them and cooked and swam, a lot of swimming. That really was a blessed time. It was so hot that even when you're in the water was too hot. We're like, man, what the heck? Yeah, I'm usually the worst. I like to have it like, I always like, I put a toe in. And then an ankle, and like, oh, can I go in? And then finally, I'll go in halfway. But even that was too hot this time. But, we just really had a blessed time. And again, thank you for those of you that came out to the bowling event. Really was a good time. It was actually warm even in there, but we really had a good time seeing the kids play and a lot of different folks show up. So we're going to keep using those opportunities to invite, to have fellowship. So I think the next one is scheduled for the 30th, I think. It's on the bulletin and also in the calendar. So keep those, just pencil those in, because those are great opportunities to invite. And again, we're gonna. What did we decide on that one? It's a movie night. So let us know. We'll be reaching out to you guys to set up. We're probably gonna do that one like potluck style and stuff, and we'll figure out who brings what. I think the church usually will bring like the main dish, and you guys can bring sides. We'll coordinate that way. We don't have to show up at like 20 bags of Doritos and whatever we're going to make, right? So we'll make sure that somebody distributes it correctly. But, I've been, every Sunday, every week, God is, you're using, as a preacher and as a pastor, you're looking for different things. God speaking to you, right, about what are we going to preach about this week? And so we're not in series, and we're using the summer to kind of do, just to catch up on what I call, however God is leading us and guiding us. In the fall, and I want to go ahead and plug this in right now, we are going to be starting the Rooted campaign. And we did this a few years back, even at our old church at LVC. Actually, it was about a year and a half ago. We are going to start the 10-week series on Rooted. I always say there's always power in going through a unified message and a unified curriculum. It's a great opportunity to invite. So we're going to align that with when the school year starts. So just more to come on that front. This week, I was kind of reflecting, and I was like, asking God, like, what are we going to cover today, God? And so the prophet Jeremiah kept coming to my heart and to my mind. And so we're going to be spending a whole lot of time reading about, we're going to do an overview of the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to dive into the weeds about who he was as a prophet, how God used him, and ultimately the message that he had for Israel, but also the message that he has for us. And so whenever you read the Old Testament, we're always looking for, you always say, Jesus in every book of the Bible, right? And you're going to see how in the book of Jeremiah, Israel, the people, is kind of like an archetype, meaning Israel and how we reflect and how God is using them and sometimes warning them and bringing down judgment sometimes. It's a reflection that as we're reading it, we'll go back and reflect to say, what is God telling me through the people of Israel? See, how many of you guys hang out with some people that are very smart? The book of Proverbs says if you want to be wise, you should hang out with wise people, right? But if you hang out with fools, you're going to be what? A total fool, right? So don't do that. But there's also lessons that do you guys like to learn the lessons the hard way in life? I mean, some of us are kind of stubborn-headed. I mean, well, not stubborn-headed. What do you call that? Hard-headed? Thick-headed? That you have to just, the people tell you, don't do that. And what do? You go and do it, right? Don't do that, you're going to get hurt. And what do? right ahead. Go ahead. You have to learn the hard way. So this is a message that in terms of when we look at Jeremiah, let's not have to do it the hard way, right? Particularly when we see what happens to Israel in this book. So the title for the sermon is called Lessons from the Book of Jeremiah. And so you guys always know, I'm big on context, right? So let's go ahead and flash who we're talking about. Let's flash the first map. Because ultimately, you guys have probably spent some time reading the book of Jeremiah, because ultimately, it's a book of warning. It's a big, the majority of the chapters of the book are books about warning, about somebody, God using and raising up a nation to the north that is essentially going to bring down judgment on Jerusalem, on Judea, actually. And so, if you guys probably have got ahead, they actually get taken over by the Babylonians, which are in Babylonia. And if you click on the next one, so Judah is over here, and you can see this is the trail that after they're exiled, they go into. And if you look at modern day, because I'm like, okay, where was Babylonia? I don't know. You're telling me. So modern day, it's right in the middle. There's another city called Baghdad, and it's right next to it. So modern day times, it's the Jewish people were exiled into Iraq, right? And you can see the trek that they took. They had to go up through Syria, almost up by Lebanon, and ended up in Iraq. And so that's where you are. And, you know, again, I'm always big on the little map. So you can kind of see that it actually happened, right? So that's what we're going to be reading in the book of Jeremiah. And so let's just jump right into it, because we're going to learn all about his calling, the consequences that comes from ignoring God in terms of, and also when we can actually take the opportunity to thrive, even when we're disobedient, even though we don't want to do that. But ultimately, because there's going to be an interesting Bible verse, right, that everybody probably in here knows. It's Jeremiah 29:11, right? Everybody knows that verse. That's a lot of people, that's my life verse. I love it. The God that, you know, I love it. I had to use my nacho voice. But the context of that verse is really interesting. Because a lot of times we don't take the time to even dive in to say, we always say the verse matters and what was going on with those people and who he was speaking to. And we're going to dive a little bit more into that. But let's go and dive into the scripture today. We're going to be reading a lot of Jeremiah. So if you want to turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, we're going to be starting right in verse 1. And we're going to read the first 10 verses. And then we're going to keep working our way through it. You guys there? All right, Jeremiah 1. It says, the word of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year in the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. So, what's he talking about? He talks about, number one, who he is. The first thing you'll learn from this particular section is that he's a pastor's kid. Okay, he's a pastor's kid, and so the second thing he tells you is when his ministry started and when it ended. So Jeremiah, was he? Do you guys think he was a minor prophet or a major prophet? Anybody? I always ask you guys that. He was a major prophet, and how do we distinguish that again? The duration of time, right? So he's telling you up front, he says, God called me to be a prophet when this person was, right? You guys see that when he was called? He says, came to him during the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, the king of Judah, and all the way through the year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people went into exile. A total of 5 different kings went in and out, I would say, on the throne or king of Israel during the time that he was a prophet. And Jeremiah prophesies for approximately 46 years. That's not approximately, that's exactly for 46 years. So right around 50 years. Now let's keep reading into the scripture. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, or alas, sovereign Lord. That sounded like English, alas. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go everywhere. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot, tear down, to destroy and overthrow, build and to plant. Amen. Man, that's awesome. So he's having, essentially, this is the calling of Jeremiah. And I always think it's interesting that God uses a very specific example to say, listen, you have been called to this task even before you were born. Even before you were in your mother's womb, I called you out to be a prophet to the nations. And so the first fill in the blank today is to say, number one says, God chooses unlikely people for unbelievable work. God chooses unlikely people for unbelievable work. Now, Jeremiah, when he was called, he was the ripe old age of 18 years old. Did you guys know that? And remember how you were when you were 18. Think back. Were you very mature? Were you very confident? Did you think like, oh man, God could use me in an amazing way right now? If you think back and if you're honest, at that time of your life, you're still trying to figure out what's what, right? You're like, I have no idea. Maybe you're moving out. Not yet, maybe. You're still trying to come into your own. You figure out your own identity, trying to figure out what you want to do. Everybody you talk to say, oh, what are you doing? What are you studying? Where are you working? Who are you dating? Are you married? No kids? I'm trying to figure it out. Stop asking me all these questions, right? Right around 18, 19. And his response, I think, is a very honest response. He says, I don't know how to speak, and I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, don't say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Isn't that awesome? The God says, I've already appointed you. I have a specific task for you. This is a message to the young people in the room. God has created you and equipped you with gifts, talents, and abilities that only you can bring to life. That only you can bring to life. It's up to us as parents, as aunts, uncles, grandparents, to raise you up, to cultivate those gifts and abilities. But at the end of the day, they're not even about you. It's about God. Listen to me and listen to me. Well, God has appointed you to reach people and to do things in his kingdom that only you can do. That's to my young people. Now, let me talk to my older people. God has equipped you and given you talents, gifts, and abilities that only you can bring to fruition. Do you see that? See how I did that? That you also have a calling on your life. Not just the young ones, but every single person in here has a calling on your life. Gifts, talents, abilities, resources for the kingdom of God. Not for Christ Community Church or the church, for the kingdom of God. The big C, the bride of Christ. And every one of us in here, when we are you're gonna get the calling, the quiet, still voice to say, you know, I think you need to be doing this. Can you reach these people? Can you pray? Can you serve? And God is, and you can't tell me that you don't hear it. It's for us just to say, even if you just say, well, I'm very busy. Well, I'm not confident. Well, I'm not having the ability, but God calls you to it. I would just say yes. Just say yes. Because ultimately, every one of us has been called just by the same way that Jeremiah was called. The verse, Jeremiah, that verse that we just read, verse 5, where it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You were set apart. You were appointed to do this. He said, a prophet to the nations. You've been appointed for something. Psalms 139 says what? That we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. And so each one of us is woven, right, to do something for the kingdom. I mean that wholeheartedly, because I said, when we're serving God and we're meeting our purpose, man, there's nothing better in the world, guys. I mean that. I mean that wholeheartedly. So again, that was a message for the young people and also for the not so young people. I think that's a message for all of us, right? All right, let's move on. Now, Jeremiah's ministry was a difficult ministry, guys. A very difficult ministry. He's charged because if you read the first 25 chapters, he's called to tell the people of Judea and Israel to repent, to turn back to God. In fact, if you count the number of times that Jeremiah says the word repent or to turn back, he says it 47 times in his book. He's known as the weeping prophet. Do you guys know why? Because he cried a lot. Come on, guys. No, that's not your question. It broke his heart. Imagine if you had that job, like, you know, you see your family, you see the people you love in your community, and you have to be the one to tell them, man, you need to stop living like that. You need to stop living in sin. You need to turn, you need God in your life. How do you think that people responded to his message? They didn't like it. In fact, they said, get out of here, fuera, we're not going to invite you to any more parties, right? Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet. In fact, he goes on in verse 15, he even goes on to he has a lot of gripes with God. Listen, when you're serving God and you're called to ministry, it's not always going to go perfect. Even if you're not serving God, it's never going to go perfect. You guys heard me say this last time. John 16:33 says what? In this life, you will have troubles, but what? Fear not, for I've overcome the world. You're going to encounter those challenges no matter what. And especially when you're doing something for the Lord, let's not be ignorant to it. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be people who are not going to like what we're doing. The enemy and also the haters of the world. You all know, you guys have some friends and family that are haters. Not just me, right? But he had a very, very difficult ministry, because at this particular time of the church, of Israel, they had completely abandoned God. They were all living in their own. They were living in the land of Canaan, right? And what started to happen? What was the reason why God gave them the first two commandments? You guys remember? You shall have no other gods before me, because I am a jealous God. And what? You shall not worship any idols or anything made in the image of, right? You guys remember that? And what are the Canaanites doing? They're doing the exact thing that God told them not to do. So let's pick up the story. And we're going to read in chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 1. It says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judea who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigners, the fatherless, or the widows, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods in your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. You steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, we are safe. Safe to do all these detestable things. Do you see what's happening right here? What's happening is the people are offering, they're doing offerings in the temples to other gods. And so what?
Do you see what's happening?
In the temple. Do you guys remember the instruction, how careful God was when he gave the design, and even the tabernacle, which was the mobile temple? You guys remember that? You go back, you need to go back and look at the book of Numbers or Exodus. And you guys remember the exact criteria, the measurements, everything that was required to do the mobile tent. And then they went on and gave these massive instructions on how perfect the tent had to be, or actually the temple had to be. And now they're offering sacrifices and worshiping false gods inside the temple, guys. They're offering their kids as sacrifice to the gods, to the pagan gods. Now, do you think that God, the Lord, would not be upset with that?
you better believe it. He's telling, this is actually called the temple message in the book of Jeremiah, because if you can see what's happening is they've completely gone away. Now, they're even fooling themselves, right? They're even fooling themselves at the same, and they're telling themselves in verse 10, it says, verse 9, you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known. And then you come stand before me in this house, which bears my name, and say, we are safe, safe to do all these detestable things. I don't know about you guys. You guys have rules in your house, right? And if you give your kids those rules and then they do the exact opposite, and then they come and say, oh, I'm still safe here at this house. You still love me, don't you? I still have your protection and you need to provide for me because this is my house. How would you respond as a human father, as a human mom or dad? How would you respond? With a chancla? With like a, don't let this, right? You better be. With the frying pan? With the cinto? With the chancla? You would, right? And we're human. We're not even the creator of life, guys. Can you imagine the insult and the disrespect that they're feeling right now? That God is going through and seeing all this happen? Time and time again, and I know there's younger folks in here. Jeremiah is very clear. The word that he always says is that he talks, when he talks about the Israelite people or his people, it's just saying, you've been unfaithful to me. And he uses this word a lot. And it goes in through, he says, you've given yourself into the desires of your flesh. You're unfaithful to me. And he goes on and he calls them, oftentimes references them as like what you would reference a woman of the night here in current days. That's how disrespected God feels into what's happening at this particular time. So, here's a little bit of the bad news. Not the bad news, but Jeremiah is called to do a very difficult task because he's obedient to God. But he's also having to do something that is very difficult to do. You know why? Because he's standing for truth, and he's having to do it and share and remind people to say, please turn away from your sin. Please turn back to the ways of God. Please remember the God that took us out of slavery, out of bondage. Please remember the God that set us free. We're not meant to live like this. That is a hard message to give. But let me tell you right now, every one of us in here is called to give a similar message. We're called to give a similar message. Because oftentimes the culture that we live in says what? Don't get in my business. Let me do me. You do you. You love God. Go ahead and love your God. I just want to be free. Love is love. Like, let me do what I want to do. We're all climbing up the same mountain. Everybody, as long as I'm good, I'll be fine. I believe there's a God. I do good things. I'm not as bad as this guy. I'm not as bad as her. Does that sound familiar? I made a point not to point to anybody here. Does that sound familiar? People you talk to, people you work with, they're saying, but that's a lie from the enemy. We are called to stand in the gap, to share God's goodness, to share about how he is a holy God, to share about how he does love us, to share about that there is a message of salvation, that there is a better way, that we're not all climbing the same mountain, that God has given us a blueprint and instruction on how he wants us to live a blessed life by knowing him and doing what he says. That's a hard message to give, because people don't necessarily, I'll be honest with you, they don't want us up in their business. They said, you do you, and I'll do me. But that's not what Jeremiah was doing. Jeremiah was called to give a hard message and stand in the gap. Now, we have to do it in a way, because we could just say, fine, I'm just going to go to church. I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. And everybody else can go to hell. We don't want that message. I'll be honest. We're not called to do that. We're called to do everything that we can do. All of our actions are undergirded with what? With love. And when you love somebody for real, you have to love them enough to say, you're going on a path that is ending up going to take you to destruction. And I don't want to see that for you. let me tell you about the introduction, or let me tell you about what Jesus has done in my life. People don't want to be preached to. People don't want to be said, repent, turn away. We can do it in a way that is gentle, but every one of us in here has been called to that task, not just Jeremiah. The second fill in the blank is, like Jeremiah, we need to warn people of the consequences of disobeying God and living a life of sin. Like Jeremiah, we need to warn people of the consequences of disobeying God and living a life of sin. You turn over to page, turn the pages a couple times, you'll get it to Jeremiah 11. I'm going to read a couple of verses there. This is really important. It says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Listen to the terms of this covenant and tell them to the people of Judah, those who live in Jerusalem. Tell them that this is what the Lord of the God Israel says. Cursed is the one who does not obey the terms of this covenant, the terms I command your ancestors when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the iron smelting furnace. I said, obey me and do everything I command you, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Then I will fulfill the oath I swore to your ancestors to give them, the land flowing with milk and honey, and you will and the land you will possess today. And I answered, amen, Lord. The Lord said to me, proclaim these words to the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. Listen to the terms of the covenant and follow them. For from the time I brought your ancestors up from Egypt until today, I warned them again and again, saying, obey me. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed their stubbornness and their evil hearts. So I brought them all the curses of the covenant I had commanded them to keep, but they did not keep. So Jeremiah is once again reminding them of the covenant that God had made with his own people. And he says it twice. When you read the Bible, oftentimes you're going to hear some things that get repeated. It's not because God forgot what he just said or the Holy Spirit said, did I say that? You ever talk to people in your family that, like, you next every time you see them, they tell you the same story over and over again? A little bit? And it's like, and you don't want to cut them off because it's like, yeah, you told me that last time. But keep going. That's a great story. Right? I know people like that in my life. And they sometimes forget. Or sometimes we're that person. I always say, if you didn't raise your hand, you're the person that people are thinking about when you show up and you're like, again with this story, Pastor? Yeah, I forgot. I'm getting older. But when you see it repeated in the Bible, it's because it's important. That's why he says it. Tell them this. And then he repeats the same thing twice in that little passage that we talked about. And he's telling them to say, you've broken your covenant with me. And so if you break the covenant, you're going to get the curses that I told you that I was going to bless you with. Or you can keep the covenant. You'll be my people and I'll be your God. And he's telling them time and time again. That's, again, a hard message to preach, but he's the one who has to give it, right? And so even for us, like I said, listen, we all know people who aren't walking right with God right now. And we have to pray for them, number one. We do have to stand in the gap, look for opportunities. The Holy Spirit will provide you opportunities. Or also, listen, sometimes I always say the message is not heard because it could be calloused. Do you know what I mean? Particularly if you have family members that you keep saying, you keep trying to talk to them about God, and they're like, yeah, again with this. It's like if the kids in the room, when your mom starts talking to you, what usually happens? Mikey, he's going to say, don't put me on the spot. What usually happens? Automatically, there's like a, you know, like there's like a, I was, where did we watch the Despicable Me movie? They hit a button and like all kinds of, they were in a protected house and they hit the button, the security button, and like iron walls came up and all kinds of things. The minute sometimes that we start talking to our kids or loved ones or friends and family, a lot of times it's like they hit that button and all kinds of walls come up and they can't hear anything. And nothing will get through. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, it does, right? Here's the thing. This is why you need the body of believers. This is why the Holy Spirit is at work constantly. Because guess what? Here's what we do need to know. We need to keep praying, right? We need God to do the supernatural for our loved ones, for our kids, for those knuckleheads that don't listen to us sometimes, right? But we need to understand that we need to bring in brothers and sisters to come alongside to do what? The work of the Holy Spirit, to do your part of what God has called you to do for the kingdom. It's to give your testimony. Because here's the reality of it. You could be saying the exact same thing. Because it's you, it's not going to get through. It's calloused. What happens when you have, how many of you guys work with your hands? Some of you guys, are your hands like really soft, like baby soft? Like you guys lotion, like soft. Your hands are so soft. I have soft hands like that. I just type all day, guys. But my brother's hands, for example, when I shake his hand, it's like, dude, you almost cut me, man. What's up, bro? His hands are like all calloused and manly. Not that my hands are girly, but like his hands are like calloused and strong. And I'm like, man, I was like, shake hand, squeeze it harder. You know, that's the only thing I can do. But I do have soft hands. But the point of it is what? It's all that constant rubbing and friction that causes that callous. And for us as parents or friends or whoever we're talking to, there can be that callous that happens, that forms between us and that person we're trying to reach. And nothing is going to get through. Nothing. So we pray. We pray like it's nobody's business, right? Every day we pray and intercede. And then also, for those of us in the room, like I said, young and old, God has called us for a task. And sometimes they say, listen, I need somebody that's going to come in and minister to my kids because sometimes they're not. I am doing the heavy lifting at home. But every now and then, the Spirit comes in and says, hey, let me minister to this person. Let me do the work of the body. And that's why we need each other, right? My dad would say, don't try to drive the nail where the knot of it is. It's just going to bend. He said, you have to find what, Amal? Find the soft spot, right? And sometimes parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, it's not going to be you. It's going to be somebody else. But what we need to hear, right, is like we need to be walking around like we're those, what do you call those, with a belt and hammering each other's kids, you know, doing the work that we're called to do together. Drive where the nail is soft. Because it might be callous for you, but maybe not towards Stephanie. Maybe not towards Sister Valeria. We need the body, guys, to do the work that God has called us to do. And we do it out of love. We have to stand in the gap, just like Jeremiah was standing in the gap. We serve a God that is jealous, but as we learn, he is not a pushover God. He's not a teddy bear that a lot of people say, oh, God is love. Love is love. That's not what we see. In fact, some of the harshest messages that Jeremiah gave, which is actual to the religious leaders, but we have to make sure that we know that we are standing and keeping the covenant that God has given us. Now, we thank God that there is the new covenant. It's not always the law, but back then it was that. You guys remember? So, moving on. In Jeremiah 17:5, this is one of my favorite passages of scripture. Jeremiah 17:5. Even in the middle of all this, our God is so patient. He loves us so much that we're going to read in Jeremiah 17:5. And it says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. He draws strength from mere flesh and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in parched places in the desert and in salt land where no one lives. Man, I don't know about you. I don't want to live there. That sounds like Barstow, California. I would never want to live there. Bunch of tumbleweeds, bunch of salt. Chale. I love living where we live. Okay, you might as well say they will be like the person who lives in Barstow. But verse 7 says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear heat when it comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Amen. That's a great message right there. Still a message of hope. Still a message that God is saying, listen, if you're trusting your heart and your mere flesh. Now, what does the world tell us right now? Follow your heart. Follow your dream. I just want to dance. Don't tell me anything. And the world is saying, the gospel is saying, don't follow your heart, because the heart is above all deceitful. It's full of the flesh. Even Jesus quotes that. If you guys remember, right? In verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. I just follow in my heart. That sounds very like out here, right? Guys saying, callate. You're telling yourself lies. You'll believe whatever you tell yourself. But I love what he says right there. Because then he goes on to say what? Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. They'll be planted by the water. It sends out its root by the stream. It doesn't care whether it's 115 outside. The leaves are always green. Has no worries in a year of drought. And it never fails to bear fruit. See, each one of us is called what? Jesus says, you know them by their fruit. And I'm calling you, right, to bear what? Fruit that will last. He's not just talking about the superficial deeds. He's talking about fruit that lasts, the eternal things. As we stand in the gap, we want to bear fruit that lasts, right? Fruits of the Spirit, we learned last week. That's one of my favorite passages, because it reminds me of, you know, we used to go to my mom actually went this for 4th of July. When we were younger, right, we used to go to Avocado Lake. Everybody leave all early. Go to church on Saturday so you can go to Avocado Lake on Sunday. Who remembers that? Yeah. Right? My mom actually went again. She was like, there's not a lot of drunk people there like there used to be. But those trees that grow up by the water, right? Isn't it nice when you're under a tree? And even out here, it just feels nice. And you're by the water, you can put your feet in, it's nice and cool. That's what that reminds me of. I was like, our walk with God needs to be reflected like that. We can all reference how hot it is out here, right? We don't want to be living in Barstow, but we want to be by the water, by the King's River, right? But don't go in because it's going fast and it's cold. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to the conduct, according to what their deeds deserve, right? Even in the middle of this message, Jeremiah is continuing to encourage them. There's a message of hope there. He said, don't trust in your flesh, because your flesh is going to fail you. Trust in God. Number 4, when God's word is ignored, serious consequences are coming. When God's word is ignored, serious consequences are coming. The first 25 chapters of this book is a message and a reminder to the people, repent, turn away, repent, turn away, repent and turn away. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1, God even challenges Jeremiah, and he tells him, if you go out and you find one person that is just and fair, I will save this city. And he goes out and he finds him. He comes back and gives report to the Lord and says, I couldn't find a single one. Everyone is full of themselves. They're full of greed. They only do things that are there. Nobody is just. Can you imagine having a ministry like Jeremiah's? Oh, my wife says I missed number 3. Number 3 is, cursed is a man who trusts in the cursed is the man who trusts in man, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Cursed is a man who trusts in man, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. And that was from that passage, the scripture I just read, from verse Jeremiah 17:4 and 17:7. Sorry, guys. I was in the zone. But when God's word is ignored, serious consequences are coming. And see, the more that you see it now, some of us have been older, and we can kind of see it. We should stand in the gap. Some of us has kind of been there and done that. Some of us, it's part of your testimony, and you're going to give it, because that's really what God is doing, right? Everything that we do, all of our mistakes, all of our, whatever God is weaving us is for His glory and for His testimony, right? It's His story weaving through our life. But when God's word is ignored, serious consequences are coming. Time and time again, Jeremiah was prophesying and telling, please turn back, please repent, please, and nothing, until something does happen. In fact, the very thing that Jeremiah prophesied to them, to tell them, I'm raising up people from the north that are going to come through and lay waste and take Israel into captivity. And so we turn to chapter 39. Chapter 39 is the fall of Jerusalem. It says, this is how Jerusalem was taken. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem with his whole army and laid siege to it. And on the 9th day of the month of Zedekiah's 11th year, the city walls were broken through. Then all the officials of the king of Babylon came and took seats in the middle gate. Nergal-Shazzar, Samgar, Nebo, Sarkakim, a chief officer, Nergal-Shazzar, a high official, and all the other officials of the king of Babylon. When Zedekiah, king of Judah, and all the soldiers saw them, they fled. They left the city at night by the way of the king's garden, through the gate between the two walls, and they headed towards Arabia, or Arabah. But the Babylonian army pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. They captured him and took him to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, at Riblah in the land of Hamath. There he pronounced sentence on him. There at Riblah, the king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and also killed all the nobles of Judah. Then he plucked out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with bronze shackles to take him. The Babylonians set fire to the royal palace, and the houses of the people broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard, carried into exile to Babylonia the people who remained in the city, those who had gone over him, and to the rest of the people. So, when Zedekiah is king now, right? This is already the first 25 chapters. Jeremiah is telling them, please turn back, please turn back. God is going to raise up people of the north. And it's funny what starts to happen. If you guys go back and you read portions of it, Zedekiah actually comes and asks, as he sees that what's happening, the prophecy coming real, he actually comes and says, please, talk to God on our behalf. But he's been telling them for years now that this was happening. And he actually tries to get Jeremiah to come on behalf of Israel. And God actually denies him the request. And actually, he, at that point, said, the only alternative at this point is for the prophecy that I gave you to come true. He actually had offered in other occasions. Jeremiah had offered and actually gone to Zedekiah and say, please don't fight the Babylonians. Please just give up to them. Live under their rule. At least people will stay here. And Zedekiah said, no, we're going to fight them. And finally, when things actually start to hit, when he starts to see that they're going to lose, then he changes and goes back and pleading to God. Does that sound familiar? Cuando te conviene? When you really need God? When you put yourself, you've been disobedient or things have happened in your life and you've, And then everybody remembers. We always say, people remember God when they're in jail and when they're in prison. We all have an even God then, right? And sometimes God will allow those things to happen, what? To bring us back to him. Because it's still a loving God, despite our disobedience, despite our hard-headedness, despite us following our own heart that put us in that place. God loves us still. And he still answers that prayer. Because oftentimes it's the crisis that brings us to him. If everything is milk and honey, my brother always has said this. He's like, listen, if you've never gone through something in your life, you don't really have a need of a God. Why do you need him? But every one of us in here, we all have our go-through. And what's happening to the Israelites is that they're going to have their go-through. They have their appointment. They had a time to repent, turn away, but they had made that decision. That decision came and went. And now they're reaping what they planted. You see, what we said there is, when you ignore the word of God, serious consequences are happening. Can you imagine what Jeremiah must have felt like as he had spent his whole ministry telling them, preparing them, repent, 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 telling them what's going to happen, and then to see it actually happening? Can you imagine if you grew up as a pastor's kid in the temple doing God's work, and then you see the temple burn down, and you see the people killed, and you see the people that were your friends and your family bound in chains, going up to the map's not there, but bound in chains like slave into exile into Babylon. That had to have broken his heart. And so, yeah, some of us, we're standing in the gap because that happened to them. That was not just we always say a metaphor. That literally happened. Now, some of us in here, we are like Jeremiah. We see that people are bound in chains, heading off to exile, to places where we know they don't want them to go. We don't want them to go to Babylon. We don't want them to go to hell. We don't want them to be slaves to something. Keep praying. Keep standing in the gap. Keep loving them. And in God's time, so we're going to see this because we're going to get through it and run out of time as well. God will provide a way, a divine appointment. Because number five, even in our failures, God is merciful and cares for us. Even in our failures, God is merciful and cares for us. Now here's the passage of scripture that everybody in here loves. Right, Jeremiah 29 says, this is the text of the letter from the prophet Jeremiah sent to Jerusalem via the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, to the prophets, and to all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiachin and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter of Elisha, son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, who Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat that you may have produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there and do not decrease. Also seek peace and prosperity to the city which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will also prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty of God of Israel says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are complete for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all of the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. You see how God is still faithful and God is still good, even in our disobedience. He has a plan so that whenever we see that message, hopefully if you see that scripture from now on, we take it in context about what it means. It's a message for all of those that have strayed away. It says, you know what? Even when we're in exile, when we're in captivity, when we're bound by chains, God still has a plan for you. And guess what he says? He says, go on, right? Multiply. Take wives, produce, plan. See that God is good. And I'm going to bring you back. And those of us in here, that's our testimony. That's our testimony. He's calling us back out of captivity. He knows the plans that he had for us. I always say, listen, I don't know if I would have chosen the broken path that brought me back to God, but I say, thank God for that broken path because it brought me back to him. That's our testimony. Even in our failures, God is merciful and cares for us. And let me close with this last scripture because we're already out of time. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through 34. Jeremiah 31. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people. Actually, no. I am too early. Sorry. 31, All right. 31:31 says, The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them out by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and I will write it in their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. He's prophesying about Jesus Christ. He says, I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to write that covenant in your mind and in your heart. Every one of us in here has the opportunity. And as we continue on, right, we always say we want people to live the full life in Jesus Christ. We continue to pray. We continue to show up and mind the gap and continue to do the thing that God has called each one of us to do for his kingdom and for the church body. Amen. Let's stand. Father God, we come before you in the name of your son, Jesus, Lord. And thank you, Lord God, for the messages and lessons that we learned from Jeremiah. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, Lord God. Thank you for your patience. And thank you, Lord God, that you have called every single one of us in here and equipped us to stand in the gap, just the same way you called Jeremiah. It was a difficult ministry. You called him to never marry, not to have kids, to suffer. Lord God, you could see he was known as a weeping prophet in his entire ministry. Not one single person repented. Lord God, thank you, Lord God, that we are so blessed, Lord, to know you, to have the ability to have your word, to be filled with the Spirit, to know your son, Jesus. Thank you for the new covenant. And Lord, as we reflect back on this passage, help us to understand the parallels between what it is to be disobedient to God and the warnings that you give time and time again, that you are for us and not against us, but you are a God of order. We just can't go out here and live our lives and think that everything's going to be fine, that you're going to be okay. No, you are a God that loves us. You have rules just the same way that we have rules. And it's for our own good, for our benefit, for our protection, because you love us. So help us not to lose sight and remember our first love. And it needs to be you. And from that, everything else, there's an overflow. You tell us that we need to seek you first and your righteousness, and then everything else will fall into place. Matthew 6:33. Thank you again for the wisdom and for the guidance that you show us in the book of Jeremiah, Lord. We know it must have broken your heart to allow that to happen to your people, and how you raised up the armies of the north to show them that there was consequence to their sin, that there was consequences to breaking the covenant. So every one of us, help us to remember and realize that there is severe consequences to breaking of the covenant. There is severe consequences to sin in our life. Help us to turn away and not have to go through those things, but we don't have to. We can learn from the Israelites. We can learn from your people. We don't want to be in that place where we're slaves and exiled and away from you. Help us to be like the tree that's planted firmly in your truth, that trusts you, that bears good fruit, fruit that lasts. Pray that you continue to minister every person here. I pray that Holy Spirit, you would reveal to them the area and work, place of work and ministry, not for the church, but for your honor and for your glory. You've called every single person before they were born, while they were in their mother's wombs, to do a good work for you, because you're a God that loves, and you allow us and you invite us to be a part of your body, to be your hands and your feet. We're not saved by works. We're 100% saved by faith in you, Lord Jesus. But we should, when we know you, be compelled to do what you want us to do, to just say yes. Help us to stand in the gap for our friends and our family, for our loved ones. Help us to continue to do the work, to share the good news and our testimony, and to do everything just girded with love. Love for you and for love for people. Because we don't want them to be heading to captivity. We don't want them to be in a place of eternal damnation. The only thing that matters is souls to you, Lord God, and our worship and our act of devotion to you. Help us to stand in the gap and do the work that you called this church body to do. Let us do our part to build up the kingdom. And let's be serious about it. We're all busy. When we get face to face to meet you, Lord God, we want to say that we finished the task. We ran the race that you have set before us. So, Lord God, today's message is a message that might maybe is more striking, but work in our hearts, Lord. Bring the conviction that you need to bring. Holy Spirit, work and move in this church body to do the work that you've set aside for us to do, Lord God. Guide us, keep us, Lord God. Thank you again for the opportunity to worship, to know you, to be encouraged by your word. Lord God, protect and bless, Lord, the members of our family as we seek out, Lord, to glorify you. Watch over us, guide us, and keep us safe, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you, Lord God. When we put our faith in you, we know that this is not it, that our eternity is with you to worship you, Lord Jesus. But this is the time where we have to act now. The enemy is a liar, and he tries to say, you have time to do it later. No, we have to act now. Let's take advantage of the opportunities that you've given us, Lord God, to share the good news of you, Lord Jesus, to share the reason for the hope that we have in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you again for the opportunity, Lord God, to be a part of your body, to serve, to love, and the fact that we have the opportunity to know and have a relationship with you, Lord God. We don't deserve it. We are sinners. Forgive us, Lord, for our flaws. Thank you again for your mercy and for your grace, Lord. And I pray again for every person that is here and everybody that's represented, Lord, and for our loved ones as well, that we know they need to be right with you, Lord God. Help us to keep praying, Lord. Help us to reach the people that don't know who you are. There is consequences to disobedience. There is consequences to a hardened heart, Lord. There's a consequence to believing the lies of the world, Lord, and believing the lies of the enemy. And Lord, it should break our hearts, Lord God, to just keep inviting, keep praying, to do whatever we can, Lord, to save them from that finale, Lord God, to save them from that outcome. Thank you again, Lord Jesus, for today's word. Thank you for your encouragement. And just continue to guide and use this church for your honor, for your glory. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.